Three, two, one, ghost. Hey, everybody. As always, welcome to 3-2-1 Ghost. I'm your host with a silent G, Kyle, joined always by Natalie. Hey, Natalie, how are you?
Hi, so good. How are you?
Fucking great. Really excited to talk about this movie. Hey, y'all, we're
Same.
talking about 1999's Deep Blue Sea, directed
Yeah.
by, jeez, it's so good, Renny Harlin, who, jeez, can I throw out just an industry legend award right now for Renny Harlin?
Oh, but yeah, sure. Any other reason other than this? Should something I should know about?
I mean, the first thing that came to mind that I knew Renny Harlin from is,
Blast from the past.
yeah, that's the one. Yeah, actually, no, that Exorcist sequel, Exorcist the Beginning. Do you ever see that one?
No, I haven't watched it.
Me neither. That actually isn't the one I was talking about, but one of his first movies that he directed was Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master.
Oh, okay. He's got a lot of producer credits on his Rolodex.
And I'm going to say it now, and maybe I've said it before. I don't know. And I know it's going to be a while. If we do Nightmare on Elm Street, we'll probably do a series like Scream. So it'll be a while before we get to Nightmare on Elm Street 4. But is it the highest critically acclaimed Nightmare on Elm Street movie? No. Is it my favorite? Maybe. I mean, obviously the first one, obviously, is fucking great. But Nightmare on Elm Street 4, oh, the kills are so good
They
and
are
so
really good.
creative. I
Yeah.
love it so much. And I felt like three and four were the sweet spot with Freddy Krueger, you know, where
Yeah,
he
yeah.
wasn't, he was goofy, he was fun, but also like he had some menace and the kills were super fucked up. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
So Renny Harlin did that one. He did a cliffhanger with my boy Sylvester Stallone, Cutthroat Island. Did you ever see that one with Gina Davis?
No. Should I?
Yeah, and Long Kiss Goodnight, also I think with Gina Davis, right? You know, Samuel L. Jackson. And he's doing those Strangers movies that are coming
Oh,
out this year.
fantastic. That's
Yeah.
exciting.
So once I saw that he
Yeah.
was doing all three of those Strangers movies, I was like, oh fuck, okay, hell yeah, fuck yeah, Renny Harlin.
Yeah.
And he's doing another movie called Deep Water, which is coming out at some point.
Oh, is it also a shark movie?
I don't know. I'm gonna check. It says upcoming horror disaster film directed by Renny Harlin and starring Aaron Eckhart and Ben Kingsley. So, well, sounds like some straight to video-ness, but that's okay. And we have a pretty fucking killer cast in this movie too, by the
Yeah,
way.
we do.
Thomas Jane. Any initial thoughts about Thomas Jane?
Oh, you want me to start now?
Set the tone. I know you've got a lot to say.
Thomas Jane. Thomas Jane in 1999. I mean, now too, but in 1999.
Yeah.
Wow. And in this movie, let's not forget, he is shirtless. He is in skin tight, fucking whatever those wetsuits are called. He's got that fucking vest thing. What even is that vest?
I think wetsuits are just called wetsuits, but I'm not sure.
They are. But what is that vest situation that he's wearing like later on? Is that a wetsuit? Just your arms aren't covered?
Yeah, it's a bulletproof wetsuit, just in case.
Just in case. But yeah, he is hot as hell, but I will tell you right now, he does not look like he has done hard time in prison.
He is very pretty
He
for.
is so pretty. So pretty. He's so fucking hot. Yeah, that's gonna be my reoccurring theme.
So you've got Thomas Jane, Saffron Burroughs, as Dr. Susan McAllister.
Who's
You
also
got,
super hot, but she's such a fucking bitch in this movie that it's hard to see past that.
spoiler alert, everybody, when she is stripped down to her underwear
Yeah.
and trying to fight this shark, I'm just like, you need to be fucking dead already. I feel nothing. Feel nothing. Don't try to use your feminine wiles on me and give me some sexy shark kill. Get the fuck out of here. I know what you fucking did. This shit's your fault.
Not a sexy shark kill.
No, you could kill all three of those sharks here on your, you know, on your own, and that would still just be a net neutral situation because you caused all this. But I digress. You've got LL Cool J. Our second movie with LL Cool J.
Industry legend. We've already given him an industry legend award.
Yes, we did. So hell yeah. Industry legend, LL Cool J, as Preacher or Sherman Dudley, which is a fun one.
Also fine as hell.
Also, yes, fine as hell. Michael Rapaport with that goatee, not quite as much.
Oh, I like him too.
I like him too. Yeah, I like Michael Rapaport. It's funny, I haven't actually seen a whole lot of stuff with him in it, but he directed a documentary about a tribe called Quest that came out, like, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 years, you know, called Beats, Rhymes, and Life. And it's really good. I went and saw it with a buddy of mine up in LA where it was playing, and I highly recommend it. It's really good.
Nice.
Stellan Skarsgård as Dr. Jim Whitlock. Fuck this guy.
I love him.
You got Jacqueline McKenzie as Jan or Janice. I call her Jan because I feel like I know her well. I've seen this movie enough times.
Yeah.
I feel like I can call her Jan too.
Yeah, we know her well.
You got Ada Turturro as Brenda Kearns. I did not know her last name. Sorry, but Wikipedia is providing that to me. So that's pretty fun. But, and by the way, our main cast, I wasn't done yet. You got
Samuel L. Jackson. Shit.
Who, I guess originally was going to play Preacher.
Oh, that feels weird.
His management team did not like the idea of him playing a chef. Which I'm like, is that a is that a profession to look down on? I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to be like the help, you know. So they created this role for him, for Russell Franklin, who's this, you know,
that's bananas,
multimillionaire investor. He invested about $200 million. So I don't know if he's a billionaire, but fuck, you got to have a lot of money to invest $200 million in some shark brains. So
wait, are you saying that his character was written into the movie so that Samuel L. Jackson had a character to play that wasn't the chef?
If I read that right.
Damn, that's crazy, because his character's story is like my favorite. I fucking love his like mysterious avalanche past.
I love it so much. And I get it, because like outside of LL Cool J, I mean, Samuel Jackson is the most famous actor in this group, right?
Yes.
So they're probably like, hey, fuck, man, we'll give you whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
We just want you on board. And shout out to Renny Harlin. I guess he fought pretty hard to get LL Cool J in this movie.
Good. As everyone should. I want more LL in horror. I think we've also talked about this before, but I need to just say it out loud and put it into the universe. We need more, just more LL in general. Yeah.
I mean, that's what the LL stands for. Ladies love cool James, right?
We do.
Did you know that's what LL Cool J stood for?
Okay, y'all good. Can't see me, but I just gave Kyle a look like, no fucking shit. Of course I know what LL Cool J stands for.
I was halfway through that sentence and I'm like, Kyle, you're a fucking idiot. Shut up. don't ask dumb questions, or you're gonna get dumb fucking responses. Faces. Yeah. Which, hey, I mean, I agree, because I think LL Cool J might be my favorite actor in this. He's so much fun. And the reason that Renny Harlin, I could maybe just call him Renny, because maybe everybody's
just call him Renny.
Yeah. Was that it's like, you know, the preacher is not the preacher, but preacher is the comedic element of this movie, but he's not too jokey, right? Like, and he has some heart. He is your audience surrogate.
He's also a great emotional support for the characters as well. Like, I feel like he's like, they're all just like leaning in on him.
I love the bro love in this movie.
Oh, it's so good. Much. Yeah. For 1999, y'all, like, people were not like showing men like hugging and holding hands in times of stress. Like, it's so good, the male friendships in this movie. Actually, the men are a lot better together than any of the women.
100%. No, the yes, I'm absolutely. You said it perfectly. The male friendships in this movie, I don't know. It's just nice seeing that on screen, right? Because I mean, this is what, the same year or the year before Final Destination, where it's like, hey, no homo, but I miss you, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of shit. So being able, I love it the whole thing through. I've got notes throughout how much I just love the male bonding, the male love.
It's so good.
I love it. Now, does it veer a little bit into some possibly sexual tension? Yes.
Ooh, I'm curious to hear who you think that's between.
Yeah, we'll get there. But
We'll get there.
before we hop into the movie, on a scale of on a scale of 1 to 3 giant Mako sharks, how much do you fuck with the ocean?
You know I don't fuck with the ocean. It doesn't happen. If I go to the beach, you're lucky if you get a little splish splash of my toes in the water. Like
That's where all the fucking jellyfish
bacteria and
live.
shit is. Okay, well, I don't encounter jellyfish on my beaches, so, or haven't at least yet in my time in Southern California, so that's great. Yeah, I don't fuck with the ocean. I have no interest in snorkeling. If I want to see that shit, I can go to an aquarium. And even then, I'm like, how strong is this glass? You know?
I know. Yeah, for a lot of glass panels breaking in this movie, like no one's like running away as fast as they should. It's dead first.
No, you don't fuck with the ocean either, huh?
I agree with you. I am 0 out of 3 giant Mako sharks, as far as how much I will fuck with the ocean, because no thank you. Not,
No.
I just don't, you know, it's like fucking even worse than the woods. Like there is so
Yeah.
much shit you do not understand in that
Or have
ocean.
ever, or can even comprehend that it exists. And not to mention, like, highly unlikely I'll be able to explore all of the land as an option, let alone, do I really need to go into the depths of the ocean? Fuck no. No, absolutely not.
Oh, and all those like ocean depths that like no humans like explored yet. So like so much of this earth, we have no the fuck idea what's going on. And if it's even close or half or a quarter or an eighth of what we saw in the Meg, no fuck, I don't fuck around. I don't, because I don't want to hang out to find out. It's not, I'm good. So it is a very, take a breath. It is a
Reel it in.
very,
We're getting real worked up about the ocean.
thank you. Taking a deep breath, something I can't do in the ocean. That's why I don't go in the ocean, because, you know.
Okay, I have one other thing to say about not going in the ocean
Yeah.
because I'm in San Diego. Surfing. No, hard pass. Absolutely not. Do you mean to tell me not only are you going to go in the ocean, but then you're going to go and just swim on top of your little surfboard looking like a fucking fresh fat seal? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, thank you.
Even Thomas Jane says it. He's just like, you know, they're not really, you know, we normal sharks really aren't down to eat people a whole lot, but you know, they just think you're a fat little seal, you know. So once they take a bite, realize you're not a seal, they'll be like, oh, you're
Yeah.
good. But
Sorry, too late.
my leg's still fucking gone. I'm still blowing out in the
Yes.
fucking ocean.
Exactly.
There's this podcast that my wife turned me on to called, let me double check. I think it's called Tooth and Claw, which I
Oh,
think I was talking to you about the other day, where it's just
yeah.
basically, it's like an animal attack podcast, and you have
Terrifying.
one guy who's, you know, like a zoologist or a, you know, animal expert or whatever, you know, that's on that. And I listened to one about these three people that were in a boat that capsizes in the middle of the ocean. Of course, a fucking shark comes up and takes them out one by one until there's one left, and he's able to make it to the reef, you know. That's
Damn.
it was. He, the guy, I think, you know, he likes to explain things away in a way to like not make people feel as afraid, like to try to provide some justification of like, hey, you know, like often, you know, it's the moral of the story is, or not this story in particular, but more of a lot of these stories is like, hey, don't fuck with animals and they won't fuck with you. They generally.
100%.
Now, in this case, I just remember one thing that stuck with me where it's like, you know, hey, I know he's saying, like, I know it can get really scary when if you're just there, just waiting in the water and the shark's just circling you, but don't worry. It's just curious. It's just circling around you curious. It
No.
doesn't know if you're food yet, you know? So it's just curious. It's not trying to be threatening. It's just being curious. I'm like, okay, but if there is a giant fucking thing that can't eat me, that's circling around me in the middle of the fucking ocean, that's debating, even out of curiosity, whether or not it wants to eat me, I find that threatening. So I don't know.
I would find that as threatening as the fucking ice cream in my freezer every time I walk up to it and go, should I have ice cream? Should I not?
Yes.
Because I'm
The answer is
gonna.
always yes.
Because I'm gonna. Like that's all I could think of in my head is like, why would you not just like take a little bite, see if you're in the mood for it, and then, swim away, leading that person to bleed out.
Especially after it's already eaten one of your friends and it's coming back to circle, it I think it knows whether or not if it's worth the risk, because clearly it was a pretty delicious situation the first time. So, oh my gosh.
Well,
So
even the way, like, the confidence level that Carter has in this movie with swimming with sharks, like, because he's just like, oh, like, they don't always want to eat you. Like, I know how to dodge their moves. And I'm like, I don't think I could.
he does do the right thing where, and they said this on the podcast, where if a shark is charging you, here's what you got to do, Natalie.
Oh, okay. Let me write this down.
Works every time. So when they come at you, you need to just push your arms out to kind of push it to the side, and then almost kind of like a like leapfrog over it. You know what I mean? Kind of push it down, and you kind of do a little whoop through the water. And so you just remember to do that. And he does it. And I made a note. I was like, oh, wow, he did it in the movie, but with the giant shark. And I was like, damn, that's really, I
If
guess it all works,
I
huh?
attempted to do that, I would lose my fucking arm because there's no way that my comfort level in the ocean would be high enough that I'd be like, all right, I got this. No, absolutely not.
You're going to find yourself in the middle of the ocean and be like, ooh, good thing we had a podcast episode on Deep Blue Sea,
I'm so
because
glad that Kyle went over this step by step with me because I'm recalling it exactly as he explained it, and I feel like I can physically pull this off.
Or it depends how much you believe in Christ, because that seemed to get LL Cool J quite a long way. And even using
Yeah.
the cross
The
to stab
giant
it in the fucking
cross.
eye. That's smart. I like it. So this
Yeah.
movie's got a 60%, which really you need to
That's
double it. It needs to be
get
120%.
fucked. Get fucked, Rotten Tomatoes. That I know that like the website is not choosing the score, but I said we weren't going to talk about Rotten Tomatoes anymore. And I feel like you just brought it up because you knew you saw that 60% on Deep Blue Sea and you're like, oh, you know what will really ruffle Natalie's feathers? This fucking 60% because this is a perfect movie.
I saw that blood in the water. Yeah, I just went for it. Also, just wanted to bring up really quick a few different, well, actually, really, only one award, Blockbuster Entertainment Awards for 2000. I thought it was 99, but it looks like it was 2000.
Okay.
Best favorite supporting actor in an action movie, LL Cool J. Easy
Yes.
win. I didn't even check to see what the other fucking things were. I mean, I can
It
check
doesn't
real
matter.
quick. It doesn't matter. Oh yeah, who fucking cares? Yeah, I mean, Ving Rhames and John Hannah. I'm like, sorry, bro. No,
Hits
we're good.
LO.
Saffron Burrows was nominated for like best breakout actress, but also like, I'm sorry, I can't separate the
I
actress
can't,
from the
yeah.
character. So fuck, I don't care. Fuck her, hate her.
We hate that character so much.
Yeah. So, but the favorite newcomer actress was Rachel Lee Cook for She's All That. Was she in
Oh, that's
nothing before
great.
that?
I guess not. Because all of her other movies I can think of were after.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I can only really think of like that and Josie and the Pussycats, and Josie and the
This was
Pussycats was
after.
after. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still early aughts, though. But hell yeah. So let's dive into this movie.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you. So the whole idea of this movie is, and I'm still really confused on the science of this movie.
I don't think the science is super important. They give an explanation of why it has to be sharks, but every single time I watch it, I'm like, wait, why does it have to be sharks?
So sharks do have the ability to like regenerate DNA.
Okay.
And what I get confused on is that, I don't know, I was like looking at like or reading some quotes from a commentary that Rennie did, and he was saying that like, a lot of the science was debunked, like this idea that like, oh, well, I mean, if you can regenerate dead cells or dying cells or infected cells or whatever, then yeah, let's take it out of a shark's brain and put it in humans, and then that'll help things like fighting cancer, Alzheimer's. I think they said, like, yeah, you know, sharks never get cancer, which, again, I don't think that's true, or at least
And like, how would
maybe,
we know that? Like
I
in the
don't know.
wild
No, I
versus like
mean,
in captivity, it's totally two totally different lives.
yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'd figure out, you know, some way to test that and figure that out. But I guess I get confused on the science behind it all, is that this commentary from Rennie was saying that, oh yeah, you know, like a lot of that's been debunked, but you know, so he's just trying to be like, hey, but it's a fun movie. Come on, like, fucking good.
Yeah, who
Why are we questioning the
I
science?
don't care about the science. It's convincing enough that I'm like, this could be true. I'm like, this could work for me.
But I think it is also, because then I'm seeing these fucking articles from, like, I don't know, from, this is July of 2022, y'all. So we're
Okay,
recording this in early
recent.
24. St. John's researchers studying sharks for clues to cure Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases. And I'm
Oh.
like, now, so is it? Or did it, I mean, or are we just 25 years removed from this movie? And they're like, hey, to be fair, despite everything that happened, so okay, it's a yes and. So yes, the sharks went, maybe you don't make them super big brains, or maybe you figure out a way to not let them do that. I mean, I'm always about, like, hey, if you can figure out a way without abusing animals, like, please, you know. So we don't need to be testing on animals like that. But let's say you absolutely have to do this. You absolutely have to have these giant fucking brains for these fucking sharks. Is that, and yes, it's true, the sharks broke through and killed everybody, and it was a whole thing. Yes.
Revenge.
Right. But to be fair, and she did lose all her data in the underwear shock kill. But so I'm just thinking probably some young scientist is watching this movie being like, well, yes, the sharks killed everybody, but it didn't mean she was wrong, that the proteins
Yeah.
from this brain could cure Alzheimer's, it could cure cancer. So I'm
Yeah,
kind of
there
like,
you
so maybe, so I think this movie's inspired science. What's it? Life imitating art, imitating life situation. Remember?
Yeah, Mickey.
So this movie starts with Saffron Burrows explaining all of this to their
No, it does
investor.
not. That is not where the movie starts.
Oh my, okay, fine. Right. It starts
Starts on
at
the
the beginning.
catamaran.
I said I'm not gonna go beat by beat. It does start on that catamaran. By the way, I'm going to be vacationing on a catamaran in three months from now. So
Well, it was nice knowing you.
pray for me, everybody. Now, granted, I did see, now we're gonna be in Greece, bouncing from island to island. I know, pretty exciting, but I did check and see what the shark situation was.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah, luckily not, yeah, not bad. The ones that don't want to eat people are the ones that
Yeah.
generally hang out, and that's
Yeah.
okay. But actually,
We don't have to talk about the whole catamaran scene. I think it's just important to mention because it leads into this next scene of the conversation where she's trying to defend her research. And, you know, he's got the newspaper article that says that the shark escaped. So that's all.
Did you totally expect all these fucking people to die on this catamaran first time watching it?
Oh, for sure. Yes,
Right.
absolutely. But Thomas Jane comes like a fucking beautiful shark hunting beast of a man in the night and just without any words saves their lives.
He gets there really quick.
So quick.
And I'm just like, how did this other boat just show up here so quickly like that? And they didn't even notice that. He had to have already
Yeah.
been coming, you know, for
Oh,
how
for
quickly
sure.
all that happened. So I think that was a nice little subversion there. I totally expected all these kids to fucking die, and they
They
didn't.
just
So,
wanted to
oh.
see, they just wanted to show you a shark attack early on. I would bet that that probably wasn't even in the movie. And then the fucking production company was like, we're gonna need to see that shark pop up.
I think it's impossible to get through a podcast about a shark movie without mentioning Jaws. And one thing that I appreciate about this movie is just show that shark right up fucking front.
Show that
Give me shark
shark
action.
as much as possible. This movie has more sharks than any other shark movie and that actually look good, still, even for 1999.
the whole point, you know, Rennie was talking about how he wanted it to be pretty indistinguishable between where the practical effects end and the CG begins. I mean, watching it now, 25 years later, I'm like, I can maybe see through the seams a little bit. But granted, can I do that? No, absolutely not. No. So very talented. So yes, you do get some Thomas Jane action first. He's got to use two of those fucking spear things, you know, to fucking put that fucker down.
He only needs one spear thing to put me down.
Yeah, Jesus.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
We then cut to Sanford Burroughs, who is trying to be like, hey, you need to keep funding me. Samuel L. Jackson, who is the, you know, the funder guy. Funder guy, you know.
The funder guy. The
funder guy. He's like, I don't know. I've already spent a bunch of fucking money on this. I'm going to need to go check this out myself. You had a third guy who was just sitting there that didn't speak, which is
his
a little
lawyer,
weird.
Maybe?
Samuel Jackson
or
was
financial advisor?
And Samuel Jackson was just standing kind of right behind him the whole time. So it was giving me Dead Silence vibes.
Oh,
where I was like,
okay.
Samuel Jackson with a little cup for catching soup and a little stick to move the guy next to him. That would have been a whole fucking other thing.
I hope you all listen to our episode on Dead Silence.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Dead Silence, you would know what I was talking about. That's okay. He is impressed by her story, and she's a pilot too, which is pretty good. Because
yeah, she's a doctor, she's a pilot.
Very impressive accolades, right?
Yeah.
But gosh, you know, you just don't.
No heart.
No heart. That's the situation. And you couldn't tell. And if she did have one, it's all just fucking shark mush now. It's all over the place.
Sure is.
Yeah, they tore the fuck up. Did they see where what ocean this like fortress is at?
God, how embarrassing for how many times I've seen this movie. I couldn't tell you. I was listening that the facility that they're working in was built by the Navy, and then his money added on a bunch of extra bells and whistles to do the shark enclosure. I could not like work or live in a facility of this magnitude in the middle of the ocean. I don't know how you feel about that, but that to me is fucking with the ocean on a whole nother level.
I'm very claustrophobic, so being down in those like depths would be much for me. And you know, I don't like being wet. And then also I just like a walkable neighborhood, and you can't do that.
No, absolutely not.
So that's so I'm gonna say no thank you. I'm not gonna live there. So
I do. I do have a little note about her story, because it's like it's very heartbreaking and sad. One, did she make up this story? Like, she's so fucking evil. I feel like she may have made it up, but also her poor dad. Why couldn't she just tell her dad that mom was like at the store or having a weekend away? She's like, every time he asked where my mom was, I had to tell him again that she had died. And I'm like, make some shit up, girl. Obviously his short-term/long-term memory, both are shot. Just say anything, anything, right?
I don't think it's like a 51st dates kind of situation where like it's that clean and just resets that easy, and you could just kind of tell Drew Barrymore whatever the fuck you want for a day. It doesn't matter. It's a little more fun in that situation, right? Whereas in this one, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know people who have supported family members suffering with this disease.
And I know you're supposed to be consistent and tell them the truth is the thing. Yeah.
But I hear you though. I like the 51st dates method.
I just couldn't handle the stress of that. So I'd be like, okay, well, if your mental health or your memory is deteriorating as it is, like, I'm just going to have to, you're going to have to take the loss on this one. And I'm going to tell you that mom is away for the weekend on a cruise because we love the ocean.
I didn't think she just fucking made that story up. It's pretty funny if she did. That's awful.
I feel like she definitely did. I don't know why. I've just always had that narrative in my head of like her just making up this sad story just to win over Samuel Jackson and his money.
It kind of worked, barely.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. He at least went to check it out instead of shutting it down.
And up until that dude got his arm bitten off, it was like, hey, oh, fuck, you did it. This is incredible. But yeah, I don't know. This movie also gives me a lot of Jurassic Park vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Of course, you've got this skeleton crew.
Mm-hmm.
You got Samuel Jackson, of course. And if I understood correctly, all three of these sharks are female, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, fuck with females. They'll figure out a way. They'll figure out a way to have sex and make, you know,
they'll
make it.
Yeah, they'll make it work.
Believe me. What I've learned from Jurassic Park in this movie is women don't need men.
I thought you were going to say life finds a way, but that's true as well.
But counterbalanced by all the bro love in this movie. I love it so much. So she flies, Seffenberg flies Samuel Jackson to meet everybody. And this is where we kind of meet everybody pretty quickly, which is what I appreciate.
I love that they do like formal introductions and like what everyone does too. So that you're like, just like, great. Thank you. Check all that off the list so that we can just move on with the rest of it.
It's like formal introductions and, oh, hey, here's a map of the facility just showing you, okay, here's a basic thing. This level, you got this. This level, you've got this, and then got this. I mean, in a movie where, like, all of those corridors look the exact fucking same, how the fuck would I know? It is helpful to establish that. Like, just knowing where everybody is and being able to kind of, like, okay, I get an idea. I'm not too disoriented in where everybody is at any given time, especially when sometimes they get separated. And which they also they try not to, which is helpful for me to keep track of. So we're introduced to Jan, who meets them on the plane.
She's great.
She could do better in a number of ways.
We'll talk about that. I actually think Jan is she's good. We can fight on that.
You meet Dr. Whitlock, who it like, okay, outside of her saying I love you Jan to Whitlock as he's being like, they are lovers, right?
Oh, I thought they were married.
Or married.
Yeah, I thought that they were married.
Okay, that makes sense. Well I didn't see if not necessarily that she has to keep the name, but her last name is her surname's different. But
they're definitely in a very serious relationship. Like the way that they sit together at the birthday party, like they're together.
Doesn't need to be, but it isn't like explicitly said out loud. But she does say, I love you when he's going up. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, if that's the fucking case, don't act fucking shocked when fucking Whitlock and fucking McAllister, Saffron Burroughs, whatever, just magically just made these brains 5 times fucking bigger. You should fucking ask your husband more questions, especially if you're doing this work together.
Yeah, because you could get in a lot of fucking trouble too.
And then after the whole first fucking, after the chaos breaks loose, you know, she's like telling fucking Saffron Burroughs, like, why don't you jump in first? Like, this is your fucking fault. And I'm like, it's also your fucking husband's fault too. So
I love her attitude when she says, you stupid bitch.
I love
that. Yeah. Is my favorite thing, gosh, in almost like any movie, because every time she says it, I'm like, yeah, you are a stupid bitch. Like, I can't wait for that shark to eat you. I love it. She's not gonna blame him. Of course she's gonna blame her. He's dead.
Maybe in it. Well yeah, I mean, you definitely find out he was dead later, but because Thomas Jane finds his body floating around. Yeah. And yeah, that's a bad, but we'll get to that death in a second.
That's the
best. You know, we're also introduced to Scoggins, who I think is one of the engineers, played by Michael Rapaport. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you're also, and then Thomas Jane, of course, and then Preacher and the whole team, you know, they're all introduced to as Samuel L. Jackson's meeting each one. Now, they make it very clear they all fucking hate him and don't want him there, but it's because they think he's going to pull the funding on this whole situation.
But, like, if there's any chance that he might not pull the funding, like, y'all better be a little bit nicer. You don't need to kiss his ass, but like calling him a suit, the way that LL Cool J talks to him. Oh God, it's so good. They all are really, really mean to him. And I'd be like, you know what? Fuck all these people. Fuck their jobs. You can all be unemployed. How's that sound?
Yeah, I'll find some more shark wranglers. Yeah, especially for Thomas Jane, when you're like, you made it clear, man, like, you need to fucking lay low, given legal obligations are, you know, to make sure you don't end up back in prison. Yeah. So, but you're just going to like the person that cuts all the checks, you're just going to be a fucking dickhead from like the get go.
Like, and you're trying to get that doctor's pussy. Like, the last thing you need is her fucking funding to get cut off. Like, that's not going to bode well for you.
That being said, I did think there was a pretty strong undertone of sexual tension between Samuel L. Jackson and Thomas Jane here. When he first sees Thomas Jane just swimming in the water, even before he sees the shark, he gives him like a pretty long, like just an admiring look.
I did not read that way at all. I just thought he was like, oh fuck, there's a guy in that water.
They're just very impressed with each other, and maybe.
They also speak very closely. Yeah. Their faces are so close together when they're talking. And Thomas Jane is just, he's just dripping wet out of that water off that little ladder. And I'm just like, I would need to jump in that water to cool off. I'm sorry. He's so fucking hot in this movie.
I think it's a fun little meet cute that they have. They also have like another one later on where, you know, Samuel Jackson's like talking about like, you know, oh, this mask. I like your mask. It's, you know, I wore a mask like this when I did a wreck dive. Do you like wreck diving?
No, he's being a dick to him because he's like saying like he looked him up.
I'm good. I'm gonna
interpret You are painting a picture that is not there.
I am interpreting that as flirting. It can be both. It's a little bit. It's a little sexy, a little dangerous. I'm three levels underneath with an ex-con and. He's making me feel a little way. I clearly have a lust for the thrill.
Apparently, yeah.
You know, after this avalanche in the Alps situation. So you didn't expect I was going to say those two, huh?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Also, it's Saffron Burrow's birthday. So that's fun. I like that they threw her a little party. Most of the crew. So, and this is after... all the crew took off, you know, so you just got your skeleton situation. So you've just got, you know, the people I mentioned, as well as Brenda, who's working the tower. Fuck, poor Brenda. She's just like, I don't have the knowledge that you all have.
She's got a really important job.
I like throwing birthday parties.
Yeah. And you know what? My question is two things. One, no, the first isn't a question. The first is a statement. If I were Dr. McAllister, I would not be down to be like drinking and partying the night before like my big, day. Like maybe that's just me being a square. I'd be like, y'all, I need to get to bed early. Fuck this fucking beer. Fuck this birthday cake. Like I need a clear head. The second thing is we decided to do this like big, important experiment in front of this guy with like, no one else working, the timing seems odd. And then like the storm, I'd be like, well, maybe we should delay it because the sharks might act differently with the storm. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. That's the only thing about this movie that I really just kind of am like, really? Other than that, it's perfect.
Yeah, no. I can't argue that. Whitlock is not even like trying to hide the fact that it's like, you know, they're saying like how, they talk about what's the name of that rule that you can't break? Like no genetic fucking myth of things. I keep wanting to say the Harvard something.
Yeah, it's Harvard something, but I don't remember. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Harvard something, but I don't remember what it was. I'm assuming something happened at Harvard and that's why they named it after that.
So they know that they're Mako sharks. I would assume... I guess the only shark experts at this point would be Whitlock and Thomas Jane and Saffron Burrows, I guess. The rest what's her face?
Janice is a marine biologist as well.
So she never thought, huh, that's weird. Mako sharks are only this big and you made them.
She fucking knows.
And nobody else thought like, how is this five times larger than your standard Mako shark and you managed to find three of them? How the fuck does that work?
I think they all knew like deep down, like it was kind of a like we're all just going to go along with this because we know that this research is working. So maybe if we can just cure Alzheimer's, then people will be like, you know what? The sharks are fine. We're good.
No harm, no foul. But that's where I'm like, Janice, like,
yeah,
believe me, I like the stupid bitch line delivery, but you can't, you cannot no. pretend that you are not culpable in some regard. Like, get the
even
fuck
Thomas
out of
here. Jane, even Thomas Jane, like, Carter knows, but he's got the hots for the doctor. He's, you know, just going, like, keeping his head down. Like, I feel like they all knew. And that's why Samuel Jackson already, like, calls them out. Like, that's crazy that you didn't have to do any genetic tampering to, like, get this going. They all know deep down.
Oh, and when they see the shark for the first time, when they, you know, when they bring it up, you know, and Samuel L. Jackson's like, what in God's creation? And then Whitlock is like, I forget exactly what he said, but he was like, not God's. Wink, wink, wink. I'm like, yeah. Bro,
he says ours. He says ours. Yeah, he finishes it.
I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Which is making me think back to, like, Reanimator. I'm like, what is it with these fucking scientists and doctors and their relationship with God? They're like, fuck you, God. Fuck you. I'm going to make everything better. I'm going to make things live longer. I'm going to make things smarter, bigger, faster. All the fucking adjectives. Like, all the things. So I love this, like, scientist versus God situation.
Again, just like Jurassic Park, just like with a lot of movies, just don't fuck with animals. Don't fucking, I don't know. Like, it's one thing if you're rich dickheads in fucking California making boysenberries or whatever that whole situation is.
What?
I'm just like, why? It's and with these last fucking Jurassic, I only saw the first of the most recent three Jurassic Park movies, but I'm like,
I've seen all of them.
Why would you take something fucking mean and make it meaner? Like, for what? Like, and then also I'm like, I like, yes, Alzheimer's sucks. It does. Man, there's, you, I don't know. And then of course, with every one of these movies, it's all about, you know, like, oh, well, we haven't been able to do the pre-trials. And then it's like, oh, we don't have time. And it's like, always, always do the pre-trials. Mm-hmm. Always do your pre-trials. Because look what happens. So
yeah, that's, you're getting eaten by sharks.
Yeah. So fucking not before you know, Whitlock can wipe that stupid fucking smug grin off his face, saying like it's ours. He gets his fucking arm bit the fuck off because he's a fucking idiot and he fucking sucks.
What business did he have getting that close to that shark?
Yeah, or smoking indoors. Like in a
in
medical
a lab.
Facility.
In a medical facility where you just fucking made a scientific discovery of a lifetime. He's like, yeah, now's a good time for a cigarette. And like, sure, like you accomplished something big, but not in the lab. Like, go take that shit outside. You don't smoke the cigar next to the newborn baby. Like, get out of here with that.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson was smoking his cigar outside.
Yeah.
At the bar. So that's what you get for smoking indoors. You get your arm
ripped off. It looks great too.
Yeah, it does. It actually does look really great. I was gonna say, I used to be a smoker. I get it. There's a power with smoking indoors. Feels pretty cool sometimes, but it's also real gross. And
it's gross.
It makes everything smell like shit. Don't do it. This whole scene is a fucking riot. I love it. And his death is so much fun because it doesn't stop there after the arm being ripped off. It's so good.
This whole sequence is probably one of my favorite things ever in a film. Like, from the time his arm gets bit off till that, like, glass breaks, it's so fucking good. This poor guy, like, even if he wasn't the most perfect human being, nobody deserves this shit. It's amazing.
Nah, I think he deserves it.
Really? Okay. What? The thing that really gets me is when they put the oxygen mask on him and you're not really thinking in your head, like, oh, if he falls in the water, like, you're like, oh, he's dead. He's going to drown. But no, he has oxygen. So he can breathe under the water.
Well, that's not why they gave him the oxygen
I
mask.
know
Like,
that's not why they gave him the oxygen mask, but I'm saying you don't really make the connection of like, okay, they give him the oxygen because that's what they, you know, do. You've had like a serious injury, you might have trouble breathing. They're gonna lift him up in a fucking helicopter in the rain. All of it is so extravagant and over the top and amazing. But then him being able to comprehend that the shark has grasped his whatever the stretcher and just is using him as a tool to break through that glass. It's fucking incredible. And they're all just looking in his eyes. Oh,
and he looks so panicked
he looks
and
so
frightened.
sad. Oh my God.
It's so good.
It feels very Final Destination, each step of the way that of things that's happening with him.
And to be fair, it was like, if it was the mechanical error on the helicopter, if that thing didn't fuck up on the helicopter, they would have just flown away. Would have been just fine. Now, granted, you'd have the fucking shark loose still anyway, right? But you wouldn't have blown up half the fucking facility. So yeah, I loved all that fucking, well, of course. And then you get four people killed real quick. You got the helicopter pilots. You got fucking poor Brenda with a
Poor Brenda.
pretty comic like explosion and her being launched backwards. And it was, oh, here's to you, Brenda. And then I just love, I mean, it was a little bit, we wanted to break this glass, so we're going to use him as a tool to do it. But I also thought it was like, man, these sharks are just like fucking just sadistic little fucks. Like,
oh yeah,
because
they
they're
are.
just, they just wanted to show you, like, literally rub his face and it just fucking right up against the glass and say,
They're like,
watch us fuckers. We're in charge now.
Watch our science experiment. How much pressure can this glass fucking take? And that's why you don't fuck with the ocean, sharks, or women. They did all three. All three. These are female sharks. They are ready to party.
I think if I were there, I'd just immediately be like, oh, we're fucked. However this is going to work out, we're fucked. Because if they're doing this, that's bad. But he's still breathing. I love it so much.
Even just like, okay, that go, to go back a little bit, when they see the sharks swim backwards and they're all freaking out about that, that would make me be like, whoa, something's going on here. Should we pause this test? Like, that is not a normal thing. It's like something that goes against science, like, of these animals. So, like, that right there, if I were Samuel L. Jackson, I'd be like, whoa, we need to do some more research on these sharks before we just like call it a success. So yeah, there's just so much going on here.
It's so bad. So the crew that's there, is they managed to at least make it to some relative temporary safety while everybody up top is fucking dead. And then one level or two levels below, you got Preacher. And his bird and his parrot.
Do you want to talk about the bird?
Yeah.
Okay.
They used two birds because they couldn't afford to get one that was like just trained in everything, like just doing its
So they
normal
got two
movie
birds
parrot
partially
shit.
trained.
Yeah, one that could fly and one that was better at just sitting on his shoulder. And I forget the name of the actor that voiced that parrot.
I was going to ask if the bird actually talked or if someone did a voice for the parrot.
Someone did a voice for the parrot.
Okay. Because he
Now,
says really mean things.
he does. And that's why I really like the theory that I think was first brought up on How Did This Get Made? I don't know if you know that podcast, but I love the prevailing theory is that that bird doesn't exist. And that bird is a figment of LL Cool J's imagination. And he is working through all of his guilt and his sin, right? And the bird is just saying nothing but negative things to him, like nothing, like calling him fat, calling him like a lard ass, saying like just awful things about him. And it's like, I think that is his subconscious and his inability to love himself, right? And he is projecting that onto a fake bird because nobody else sees this bird in the movie. And nobody else interacts with this bird except for him, except for the shark when it eats it. So I love that.
So I knew you were going to bring this up. I tried my best to watch it through the perspective that the bird is just a figment of his imagination. And can I just tell you the scene where he like feeds the bird the whipped cream and he's like, yeah, yeah, you like that, don't you? It's so much worse watching it thinking that that bird isn't even real.
Well, but still, it's, oh my God, I made a note of that too, because I was like, oh, I forgot there's like two, like they cut to it twice watching that parrot just tongue his fucking finger like that. Just,
and they have these like birds have those like dry tongues. Have you ever felt a parrot's tongue?
No, I'm not going to stick my finger in a parrot's mouth.
They're dry. Well, I had birds growing up. And they, their tongues are just dry. Like it feels so weird.
Like a cat has like a sandpapery
tongue.
No,
not like that. Like, okay. Have you ever felt like your dog's nose when they're dehydrated and it doesn't have the wetness and sponginess? Like it feels completely dry like that. That's what their tongues feel like. Like it should be wet, but it's not. But they're never wet.
I don't like that tongue flipping around on his finger like that.
No.
Yeah, it was a little. So,
no. I will take place of that bird.
he also gets our first shark kill. Actually, two of these three sharks are killed by LL Cool J.
Does he kill two of them?
Yeah, the first one
oh,
and the third
shit,
one.
You're right. Yeah, go, creature. I really like his shark kill. I love when he's in the oven and the oven turns on. That's so great. I don't really know how the logistics on the science of the axe hitting the metal. Like, I'm like, if you got one spark, couldn't that fucking blow your ass up? Am I wrong? Is that just an action movie like myth?
I mean, a lot of things cause a lot of really big explosions in this movie. So
A lot
I
of
would not
exploding.
be shocked if something like that were to occur. But yes, I just like the whole time, even as he's just in this oven getting fucking, you know, he's getting preheated. He's just like, Lord,
you son of a gun.
you rascally bastard.
This is quite the predicament.
I appreciate the irony. You're going to kill me in my own oven. I'm like, do you think God sent that shark after you like that? Like,
yeah, I think he does. I think he does.
It was a good idea. I don't think I could have. I would have just probably just died. I would have just given up.
And yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think I, though, would rather be eaten by the shark than cooked in the oven. Like my dumb ass would have just gotten out of the oven and seen if I could like swim for it rather than, you know, just sizzle.
One thing too, what I love about both LL Cool J shark kills is that before he lands his final blow, he honors a departed friend. And so in the first one, he's like, this is for my bird. You killed my bird.
Yeah.
And maybe the shark didn't, right? Because maybe the bird doesn't exist. I don't know. But still thought that was pretty cool.
From his perspective, yes.
Yeah, in his heart. And here he did. Yeah, so
that's what counts.
I don't exactly get how it was as effective as it was, but I loved it. Great scene. Blow that fucking shark up. That shark.
Yeah.
For as smart as these sharks are, they're not super smart.
I mean, they're still sharks.
Or they're only smart when the plot needs them to be. I mean, you can be very sadistic and cruel and shitty, which is very weird. Like, again, you've given it will and desire, right? And some cleverness, you know.
But it's still not going to recognize an oven or a lighter. It's still a fucking giant fish in the ocean.
I guess so.
So,
yeah.
Like, they learned the things they needed to learn about the facility from watching people. But, like, I don't know what an oven is.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought too deeply into like how much the three sharks planned all of this and how long they were planning for the right moment.
Yeah, because Carter's like, they herded us to the top to like sink the facility. And I'm like, okay, they don't know how the fucking pressure works. Like, they're not the engineers.
And I mean, outside of revenge, I mean, I guess what do the sharks care about going after these humans? Like, they're giant sharks. We're free now. We can just go eat giant ass fucking
no
fish.
They can't. They have to sink the facility so that the fence sinks.
Oh, right.
Which still
Oh.
is like really advanced thought and planning.
But one already escaped at the beginning of the movie. So clearly they can do it without, I don't know.
Well,
So.
I was wondering about that because in the beginning, Carter says to Scoggs, he says that he left the gate open. And I'm like, number one, what gate that leads out to the ocean would you have left open? And number two, are we implying that the shark figured out how to open the gate because he knows he locked it, but the shark figured it out, and then maybe they got like better reinforcements, and the shark was like, ah, gosh darn it. My first plan has been foiled. Now I'm going to have to sink this whole facility to get out.
Yeah, because that's the only other way to do it.
Yeah.
I love it. So pretty quickly though, we got one shark down out of the three sharks.
I like that. You didn't, we don't need all three for
Yeah,
the
you
whole
don't need it.
movie.
So we cut back to the other group who are trying to figure out how the fuck to get out of here. They figure out they can take, like the elevator shaft all the way up, maybe cross over, go back down, go back up, do a whole situation. I get it.
I didn't. Every time they explain it, I'm like, sure. That'll make sense.
He points to the map and he's like, oh yeah, this way. And we got to go down to go up. And everyone's like, oh, okay. Because they're going to get in those fun little buddies. Those little boats, little submarine boats that will
Oh
go
yeah,
come
the
up to
little
the
subs.
top. Right. This brings us to, gosh, I mean, I said Stellan Skarsgård had my favorite death. I don't know. They're all so good. But this one's probably the most iconic of this movie is Samuel L. Jackson.
It's the most shocking upon a first watch, and but like why I like Dr. Whitlock's death better is because it's fun to watch every single time watching the sequence of events just escalate. Whereas like Samuel L. Jackson, the first time you watch it, it is I think I was in the theater. I watched this with my mom, and people were fucking hollering. Like it was incredible. I remember that moment because one, I was shocked. I thought Samuel L. Jackson was going to make it through, or like at least further into the movie, because that's what, like halfway, the halfway point,
Yeah.
probably. Yeah. So it's so good. And I had the pleasure of my poor son. He, not my lucky son. I let him watch any shark movie he wants to watch, and I forgot how much profanity is in this movie, but he loves Deep Blue Sea. We've watched it many times together. The first time he saw Samuel L. Jackson's death, he looked at me and was like, I did not see that coming. And I was like, yeah, that's the whole point, man.
Thomas Jane told him, don't stand so close to
Don't
that
stand
fucking
so close to
water.
the water. Yeah, that's how the first guy lost his fucking arm. Are we
Yeah.
learning no lessons here? No
No
lessons.
lessons. And so it's right in the middle of his big speech. You're gonna like maybe almost hear about what the fuck happened at the Alps with him.
Yeah.
And
I
I
wanted
love
to
that.
know.
When I watched it with my wife, it was the first time she had seen it.
Ah, what a
This was
treat.
It's such a fucking treat. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because you're
Because of
just
course,
watching the person, not the movie.
yeah,
I
I'm just watching and being like,
did that with Phil.
the shock is so genuine and earned. I love it so much.
Yeah,
So
it's so good.
he's fucking out. So you've got, let me think. Let's see. We got five people left. You got LL Cool J, who's a floor above, and then you've got Scoggins, you got McAllister, you got Carter, and you got Jan. So again, in a little bit, Jan, hey, rightfully so, is not super happy with Saffron Burrows. I get it. But at the same time, in times of crisis, I like to see the males bond.
Oh
What
yeah,
is the
they're
women?
like, we gotta get through this. Well, okay. There's the dynamic of this, the Saffron Burrows is her husband, boyfriend, whatever the fuck we want to call him. We'll call him husband. Husband's work partner, who clearly, like, they made this decision to break this Harvard Pact or whatever the fuck it's called, and break the law and potentially lose all the research, like all the things, like you can't use it if you've cheated, like the research, you can't. So she only has her left to be angry with. So even if she is angry with her late husband, like, he's dead. Now she's like, he's just this angelic, perfect person who died tragically, and it's all your fault. So my woman brain absolutely would operate the same way. I'd be like, you stupid bitch. You convinced him to do this. He would never. Like, that's where I would go. Like, it may not be logical, but, like, especially in, like, grief, forget it. I would have fucking thrown her in the water, honestly. Jan was being nice to her. I would have thrown her ass in the water and I would have said, come get dessert, fishes. Like, fuck her.
Fuck yeah, I would say her. If there's any person I would, yeah, you'd say, we need to do everything we can to protect Thomas Jane because he is going to keep us safe as much as possible.
Absolutely. Right? And she's a distraction for Thomas Jane. So if you can get her out of the picture, then you're good to go. He's going to protect you to the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine ass.
Yeah, he'll keep you warm in that deep, deep blue cold waters, right?
Yeah.
So, no, and it was this Michael Rappaport. He was like, you left me. Don't ever say don't ever leave me again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. So, hey, you know what? As mad as Jan was, you know, she ain't gonna be too mad for long, right? Because they make it up to the shaft. Get their way up in the ladder. I mean, already I'm just like, oh fuck, you see like this shark, like fucking this water coming up below you, you got fucking just this fire and ash and shit,
fire inferno.
You're just like, I don't know
what do we do, what do we do here?
Like, I'm just gonna like a shark, keep moving forward, right? Yeah. And like a normal ass shark, not like these fucking weirdos, but and yeah, geez. And you can tell even just Thomas Jane's just like, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just kind of working out this point as I go. I'm going to try to open this door, see what it looks like, so we can, you know, relieve some of the flooding right into the second floor.
Every set piece in this movie is so fucking awesome. So like that shot of the shark just going in circles, like, I'm a coming. Just going to go in circles while the water is rising. It's so good.
But remember, Natalie, it's just curious. So don't be threatened by this. Do not fear.
This is a very different situation.
It is a very different situation. But oh man, with that ladder falls down. I think what could have been a pretty boring death was super sad with Jan, right? Because the ladder, of course, fucking breaks and they all fall. Everyone else can hold on except for Jan, who lets go, falls in.
Yeah, they're all in great shape, by the way. To just like swing themselves up, and then Thomas Jane just on his back legs, like hanging down. I was like, come on. Really?
Dude, oh, he's just fucking just crawling. You know, he's like just like, he's fucking like a kid on monkey. The monkey bars. Yeah, I love it. And poor Jan, it's just, oh, it just hits harder when it reminds me of urban legend when Tara Reid dies, when she's just like, I don't want to die. You know, like, and then that last, like, and
I I'm know. Just like,
aw. Fuck.
And she gets bit right in the fucking vag. Like, that shark gets her right in the middle of her legs. Like, I never quite noticed that before until this watch. Like, I was like, oh fuck. It goes like right in there.
It sucks. Yeah, because she gets and just that shot of her getting like pulled down and then right back up, and then it's too late. They try to grab onto her. It's too late.
Yeah, because if you do get a good grip on her, you're just going to pull her apart.
Yeah, or point. You drag yourself down with her.
Yeah, fuck
you
that.
Know?
I'd be like, bye, Jan.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, Jan. Oh, my gosh. But yeah, and then, hey, LL Cool J comes to save the day.
Yeah, how long do you think it took him to collect those sheets and tie them together and then all of them to climb up? Like, that's at least a two-hour-long affair.
with how fast the water was coming up, like, that's, you couldn't have figured out some quicker way, but hey, you know, whatever, it's effective. It worked. So you've got, gosh, you've got your four left. So at this point, a lot of people are dead.
Mm-hmm. No time to grieve.
Saffron Burrows, oh my god, is still like, at this point, maybe she's like, okay, maybe you were right, Thomas Jane, maybe I shouldn't have maybe fucked with all this, but let's not let all these deaths be useless, right? Like, let's let's still save some whatever. Saffron Burroughs, she is like, do you ever watch that show, I Think You Should Leave, on Netflix? You might not know the reference, but it's like Saffron Burroughs is like wearing like the hot dog suit in this situation. She's the one walking in wearing the hot dog suit, being like, this is so awful. How did this happen? Who could have done this? When very clearly everyone knows 100% it is fucking you. You drove the hot dog car through the wall. You caused this. And I'm like, they almost like try to redeem her a little bit in this movie and make you think that she is like the heroine, but like, no, get the fuck out of here.
I don't know that that was even the point. The only thing, and like, I'm curious on your thoughts about this. The only thing that is redeeming about her is that Carter sees something in her and is attracted to her. So you like him as a character, like he's your hero. And he's attracted to this terrible, terrible woman. Like, yes, she's hot, but dear God, like, she's awful. So, you know, even after everything that's happened, like, they have their little moment in the bathroom. And you could tell, like, he's just got it real bad for her. And, like, honestly, like, status-wise, like, she's slumming it with him. So it's just an interesting dynamic because, you know, from that perspective, she'd be slumming it with him, but he's like the way better person, obviously. I just don't think they have any like real chemistry.
No, I don't think
you
so.
Think, like, there's no like sexual tension, like no chemistry. We're just told through their lines.
Whereas like, you can feel it with him and Samuel Jackson. I knew. And you can feel it. You can feel it with him and Michael Rapaport, and you can feel it with him and LL Cool J.
Even like, LL Cool J and Michael Rapaport also have like a nice little moment and hug when he's talking about Einstein's theory of relativity. It's mm-hmm. the best when he says, when he compares like touching a hot pan to touching a hot woman and the time difference. I was like, that is the best way to explain science ever. That's how I'm going to explain it to my son.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know what this fake science they're teaching you in school, you know.
But here's some gems for you.
Right. That would be funnier if there weren't plenty of mothers in this country that are saying, that are questioning all the shit people are learning in schools.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, Thomas Jane, Michael Rapaport. Sorry, you know, I switched so much between the actors' names and the characters' names, but
you all know what we're talking about.
So they split up because they got to go take care of some shit, mm-hmm. you know. So those two take off. Saffron Burroughs is like, hey, I'm going to get some data from my mm-hmm. place.
And,
go
and Ello gives her like a very like little like, girl,
don't do it.
Even with all this death, and she's like, it might be tragic, but I don't want it to be useless. I respect her for that because I'm like, okay, like everybody's already dead. You might as well save the research, but like she shouldn't have gone by herself. But he was like, I'm not fucking with that.
Smart. Yeah, he's like, I'm fucking good. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And that's when you've learned his name's Sherman Dudley, because I think at this point
he's got better shit to do. Yeah. To make an omelet.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the tone change. When he's like saying his goodbyes and then switches to like total like cooking show voice. Oh, it's so good.
Then you get your second shark kill, which I alluded to a little earlier mm-hmm. with Saffron Burroughs. Now, I don't understand wetsuit science necessarily, nor do I understand the exact science of putting like a live wire inside a body of water. What's the range that electrical field like causes?
Well, it went into the shark's mouth directly, but also how my logistical question here is, when you rip that giant cord wire situation off the wall, like you took a gamble, because depending on what side you choose, like you might end up losing the electricity like flow, like that mm-hmm. could kill it. But I'm like, what? Would it still be that powerful? You know what I mean? Like that feels a little wild.
Powerful enough that you feel compelled to take off your wetsuit and just down mm-hmm. to your undies and mm-hmm. And I guess that's enough
for her not to get shocked because it's rubber.
Grounding situation. Mm-hmm. Right, right. Now, this shark kill, not as cool as the first one. But hey, I like, change it up. I like this. Give me some variety. So get a little electrocution situation. Sure.
Yeah. I think what's funny about this scene is if this movie weren't so over the top and ridiculous the way that it is, like it's just like super duper fun, this would be a situation where I'm like, okay, her being in her bra and underwear is totally exploitative. Like she did not need to strip down. Like it seems unnecessary and it's not even sexy. Like there's nothing sexy about it. Like she looks hot, but it's not... it's completely useless. So like, that's the type of situation where I'm like, and it's not actual nudity. Like, you know me, I'm like, go nudity, everybody be naked. But this is not real nudity. It has really, they could have done a million other things, but fine. I'll take it. Cause the movie's so silly and she looks great. But yeah, I just think that's super funny. I don't know how any of the science of that works, but, the shark is
she's
dead.
A scientist, right? She's
she
a scientist.
knew
We're not.
She knew. Yeah.
So that shark's fucking dead. Not as lucky over on the other side with Thomas Jane and Michael Rapaport. Again, I just love, I don't know, just them just getting stuff done together. They were able to, I forget exactly what they were supposed to do.
I don't remember what there is. Something with
turn
electricity.
Some
break, I don't know.
Something with some switches, turning some right lights from red to green. You know, your usual submerged mechanical situation. Yeah, sure. So, but again, I like that, you know, they get separated for half a second. And then this is when Carter sees the body of Whitlock.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, I think reacts a little extra given
I
everything
know.
That's going on.
You've seen so
he
many
freaked
people
out.
Die. Yeah, he fucking like had a moment for sure.
And then also like, fuck Whitlock. I think if you saw like literally anybody else that died, he'd be like, oh man, like
Brenda.
Yeah. Jan. I don't know. Brenda would have made it all the way down there, but you never know.
You
Maybe
never
they did
know.
That. Maybe they're just taking all the bodies and put them all in one little spot.
Yeah.
But
they're smart sharks.
But I do like, you know, they pop, he pops up, you know, he's trying to get his cool back together. Michael Rapaport comes back up, you know, and Scoggins, he's just saying like, you said you wouldn't leave me. We need to stick together. You know, just you and me, we're buddies together. Buddies, you know.
I love it.
And he's like, yeah, man, of course I love you. And it was so sweet until...
And the music is so like positive and like lovely and like swelling, like when they like accomplish their task. And that's when you know, like somebody's not making it.
This
and
is
it's
not going to work.
Like
and you
Carter's
know it's...
the safe one.
Yeah. And that would be an extra twist if then like Carter just shockingly also dies like Samuel Jackson.
Damn,
And then
that'd be wild.
You're like, damn, do I just need to follow Michael Rapaport through the rest of this movie? Maybe. I'd still watch it.
That would be great if it was him and LL Cool J in the end.
I know. But they're just like smiling, giving each other thumbs up. They're happy. They're like, we did it. Oh, let's go do this. And then nope. Oh, and then he gets
heartbreaking.
Michael Rapaport gets just everything breaking. Just bits. Again, also always a nice touch when you've got limbs. I love when there's limbs that still twitch.
Love it. I
Love
agree.
it.
The little foot twitch.
Fuck, Thomas Jane's able to get the fuck out of there.
Thank
They're
goodness.
Able to, and they're able to connect back. And just fuck, you only got three people left. And I know there's, again, they keep trying to shoehorn this weird kind of relationship between Saffron Burroughs and Thomas Jane, because it's like, after, you know, well, she's like, my dad is fucked, it got fucked up when during the shark fight on my end, where's Scoggins, and he's like, Scoggins didn't make it, you know. And then she's like, fuck. And then like LL Cool J is like, hate to interrupt this burgeoning intimacy here, but let's go.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think they were being intimate.
They were just having a conversation, like updating on the situation.
He's probably, because he's already seen it between them probably a little bit even before this whole night happened, so he's probably just feeling very just like, I Eyes on the prize.
He's like, Carter. We need to
Eyes on
fucking
the
focus.
fucking prize, bro.
Yeah.
Stop it. If it were up to me, she'd be dead already.
Absolutely.
But I do like their plan for getting back up to the top. I thought this was a cool, super cool
A solid sequence. Plan and a super cool sequence. And I love the prayer that that preacher is doing. And it when he says, I'm the meanest motherfucker in the valley, I was like, yes. Like, he still gets to say a curse word. Makes me
I wasn't
so happy.
sure. I wasn't sure if he was like, well, doing that to be cool. He was.
Of course.
Or if it was like also an homage to, or homage, whichever one, to Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
He talks about the Lord's Prayer and his big stick and throwing in motherfuckers, you know, this and this. I am not Christian in the slightest, and I'm not a religious person at all.
Same.
And wouldn't
Same.
Really find myself very spiritual, to be honest, outside of the ghost type of spirits. I just like fun
That's different.
ghosts. Yeah, fun secular Casper ghosts kind of situation. But I'm like, hey, if we're going to hold hands and if you're going to say some religious shit, hey, pick that one. I'm like, hey, what's the one that at the start of Gangster's Paradise? Say that one. What sound like really fucking cool as we go.
You
So
walk
hey.
Through the valley of the shadow of death. It's
Yeah.
Great. It's a great sentence.
So yeah. So hell yeah. I like, and again, this is a fun sequence where it's like, all right, hold your breath and swim. Let's, you know, and setting off this is a very MacGyver situation. He's able to get the extinguishers, connect them to the life jackets.
Thomas Jane does so much for this group. There was no way that he could die. If he would have died early on, they would have been dead so much faster.
And which is funny,
except for maybe Preacher.
Given that he does not kill any of the sharks. Right?
He's more into the, he's like the survival situation, and the other ones are like just desperately
stab it in the
lives.
Fucking eye.
Yes,
yeah,
stab that
we'll
shit
blow
in
this
the
fucker
eye.
up. They managed to make it to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still one shark left. And again, sometimes like the sizes of these sharks, like, okay, so
it varies.
Yeah. Now I think, cause there's like the Gen 1s and the Gen 2s, but I think the biggest shark is the one
is
left
the last
remaining.
One. Yeah.
And a pretty big fucking shark.
Cause Carter says it's a 45-foot shark.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Oh, I don't even Jesus. Know how to like measure that in shark size. Like when I think about 45 feet,
but Carter's got a plan. He's like, hey, all right, I'm gonna spear it and then we're gonna attach an explosive to it and we're gonna blow it the fuck up. Which yeah, that sounds good. That sounds pretty deliberate. Sounds like a good plan. Let's
he
fucking
starts
do
making
it.
The dynamite and shit.
Yeah. You do get you know, once they get to the top, LL Cool J gets attacked. And
a
again,
miracle that he survived after we saw those sharks tear up people in mere milliseconds.
Yeah, they took him out for a ride. He was going around and then was able to just stab it a few times in the eye.
Yeah,
hell yeah. That's what I do. Like, when in doubt, go for the eyes.
Yeah,
go for the eyes.
Absolutely. You
yeah.
Don't want anything stabbing at your eyes. Ooh.
So they're able to get him out. Saffron Burroughs and Thomas Jane are getting a plan together where he gives her like one thing to do. It's just like, look.
She's just watching. She's like, all right.
I'm going to spear it. You need to connect this battery because as soon as you connect the battery, boom, all thing blows up. And she's like, and then even without like conversation, he's like, ah, fuck, it's too far away. And she's like, ah, bait, that's what we need. So but it's like, no, you need to be connecting the thing to the battery.
Yeah.
That's not helpful when you're in the middle of the fucking water. Also, I don't know how LL Cool J heard this plan, because he ultimately ended up doing it, because I didn't think he was even that nearby
awake
to hear this.
Yeah
To hear this whole plan. But hey, fuck, if
he
it works, I think
it
he
out.
Just he felt it. That's what happens when two
He's
dudes
smart.
Just fucking care about each other. They just
they've
read
got
each other's minds.
Yeah,
they know
they've
it.
got that bro connection.
So this was not the original ending of this movie.
Here we go.
If any of you have done a light Wikipedia dive into this movie, you'd learn that Saffron Burroughs was supposed to live and survive this whole ordeal. And there were also some shots in the movie that were cut that tried to make her a little more sympathetic as the story went on. So that's why you get kind of those stray kind of things. I'm like, why the fuck is everyone like why is Thomas Jane even that nice to her at this point? You know,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. It's because there were those bits of the story that were cut. They showed a test run of this movie to a test audience, and they fucking agreed. Fuck that fucking bitch. Like, why is she still alive?
They're
she,
like, this I, stupid bitch.
Like, I get that the sharks are the villain, but who created those sharks? Those Mako sharks didn't, on their own, they didn't get fucking injected with this shit to make their brains bigger. Like, no, like, they are victims in this. The sharks are the original victims of this movie.
And they, like, they're sharks. They're doing what sharks do, and then you put them on fucking brain steroids, essentially. Like, now they're doing what sharks do times 100.
I love that if you have an angry enough audience, they will just go ahead and just change the ending of a movie.
I fucking love that. The test
I love
audience
it too.
Coming through twice, because Dewey surviving in Scream.
Yeah.
And then Saffron Burroughs dying.
Do you imagine that call Saffron Burroughs gets where they're like, hey,
we
gotta
need you
do
to
some
reshoot some shit.
We need to do some reshoots. And she's like, oh yeah, okay. Like, I don't know, some B-roll, or what are we gonna do? And she's like, oh, well, actually, we showed the movie to some test audiences, and they had a thought. And that thought was, I fucking hate you and I need you to die brutally. And so probably originally she wasn't gonna be like, oh, I need to be bait and jump in the water, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that didn't happen originally. I just need to get her in there so she get eat the fuck up. Now, we gave an industry legend award to the test audience that elected to keep Dewey alive.
Yes.
And because look at all the benefit that's provided to us through those Scream movies, right?
Thank you, test audience.
I would like to nominate this test audience for an industry legend award as well for killing that fucking idiot. What do you think?
Approved. Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Just like with Scream 2, if you are listening, if you're a listener to this podcast and you were a part of that test audience that was very vocal and making sure that bitch get ate the fuck up, please
reach out.
Call us. Yeah. And we'll send you your certificate. So she jumps in the water, and I mean, I think maybe she was trying to climb back in because she turns around and fucking the ladder just falls apart pretty quick. Or the little, like, it's not like a ladder. I guess it is a ladder per se.
It is.
Just bars against like a piece of concrete.
Yeah.
So she just gets eaten the fuck up, which is great. Good for her.
This ending is so like, what's going to be the actual ending? There's just so many layers of heroics like happening and people like, you know, going through a lot. It's funny.
Thomas Jane, eyes on the prize. He's like, still gotta kill this fucking shark. But he's getting dragged around. And that's when he did the thing that I told you you're supposed to do.
Yep.
And a shark comes at you, you gotta
looks great.
Push it and just do a little boop just right over the top.
Yep.
And then I don't know why he insisted on holding onto the shark the whole time. I guess if he was holding onto the fin the whole time, the shark can't like eat him because his mouth can't get there. So maybe that's why. LL Cool J coming to the fucking rescue.
Love him.
Being like, I see this battery, I see this spear gun. I think I get what your plan is. I'll figure this out.
Yeah, he's like, I'm in it. We've got that telepathic bro connection.
Yeah, I love it. And then of course afterwards, like Thomas Jane's like 45-foot shark, and you shoot me, huh? The spear goes right through Thomas Jane's leg.
I love that so much.
But I like the LL Cool J is like, all right, well, fuck, I'm going to have to blow up this fucking shark either way. Sorry.
My friend's
connected to it.
I know. I'm like, I can't believe he survived that explosion. Like, and they even go as far to show you what would you call that? Like whatever blow that is coming from like the explosion through the water. Like if nothing else, if it didn't kill him, it would probably knock him out and then he would drown. Right? Like the blast would be like pressure on his fucking face.
Probably. It's, he's got a beautiful fucking face though, so maybe it pushed some of that fucking that energy back at him.
Shine.
Yeah, they're like, you can't fuck with this face. Mm-hmm. Too beautiful. Yeah. They blow that shark right the fuck up.
It's a big big explosion. I love the blood water, like, all over the place. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, shooting in the air.
Mm-hmm. Just course. Chunks of shark.
Of course, fucking LL Cool J. Just keeping it 100 each time. He'd, without even a pause, he's like, hey, bring me some sushi.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Everyone's dead. He's like, no, nah, there's a joke here. And also, I think I would be too. I'd just be so
gotta keep it light elated in that situation, like, to be alive.
He's lost a lot of blood. I'm sure he's just like, ah, no, this is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I like doing this.
I also love that he asks him, he's like, there were three sharks, right? And Carter's like, yeah. And he's like, okay. And then he just pulls his feet like out of the water. And I'm like, yeah, dude, get your fucking feet out of the water. There are still other sharks in the ocean.
Right. Yeah. I love just the way he delivered the, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I laugh every time.
It is good.
Samuel Jackson, LL Cool J, all the L's, you know, he talked to Samuel L. Jackson earlier and he's talking about like the whole thing in the Alps. And he's like, you know, there's, aren't there enough things that fucking black people should be worried about, like killing them? Do you really need to like go out of your way to find other shit, you know? And well, he makes that comment, right? And I think he maybe brings it up in Halloween H2O, maybe not. Just about, you know, just the trope of black characters not making it very far in these sorts of things. He is, I forget the name of the third movie, but in these movies, he's 3 for 3 in surviving this shit. So he is fucking fantastic. And he should have came back in those Halloween movies. Be like, hey, we're gonna retcon all the Halloween stuff. H2O doesn't exist except for
LL Cool J.
Because they did it for the other ones where it's like Halloween 2 doesn't exist, but they brought back characters that were introduced in Halloween 2. So you're like, okay, y'all aren't even following your own rules.
Yeah, just so, go for it. Why not?
So bring LL back. What the fuck?
Yeah, absolutely. He's the best.
One thing I really appreciate about this movie, too, again, is you got, you know, your two final girls are Thomas Jane and LL Cool J.
Oh, they're the best.
That never happens.
They're
so cute. They're gonna be such good friends after this.
Oh yeah, for sure. They've been through it. Like Thomas Jane's gonna go over to his place. He's gonna have a new bird that's real, and he's gonna cook him the perfect omelet. And it's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, I love it. Now, was that a rescue crew coming at the end, or was that the rest of the staff?
That was the staff. Like, you'd think they would be, like, crying or, like, look, like, devastated or shocked. They're just like, oh, hey, guys, we're here.
Yeah. They were, like, waving and dancing, like, on the way they were, sailing out. But then I'm like, with all the explosions that happened there and the helicopter that came that blew up, nobody thought to send someone out? Like, there's no way all of this happened with no one noticing.
Someone would have had to have communicated something going wrong. Like even like the rescue helicopter, like who were they talking to? They'd have to be talking to both Brenda and like wherever they came from is like, wait, what happened to those two guys that took that rescue helicopter?
Right.
Yeah. That's a great point.
But hey, not that important. Who the fuck cares?
I think the greatest mystery of this movie is what did happen in the Rocky Mountains. She says the Alps, but it was the Rockies.
I thought it was the Alps.
Oh, it is the Alps. Yeah. So like what happened in the Alps? Like, I kind of like that there's a mystery about it, but like, we're pretty sure that they ate those other two people, right?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
So Samuel L. Jackson was getting that hunger the second that whole shark stuff started happening. He's like, ooh, fuck. He's probably just looking around being like, who's going to be the tastiest one at all? Yeah. He's already thinking about cannibalism.
It would be Thomas Jane.
That brings us to the end of our movie. Anything else that you want to talk about Deep Blue Sea before we wrap up here?
No, we covered all of it. It's such a perfect movie.
You know, there's two sequels to this movie.
I haven't seen either of them. Have you?
No. I think one thing that messes me up is that it's just called Deep Blue Sea 2 and Deep Blue Sea 3. And why didn't they call it Deeper Bluer Sea? And the third one, deepest bluest sea.
Oh, yeah.
In parentheses, shark's fin, or hats like a shark's fin. Because, again, the 90s fucking just killed it. I love when you have a movie that also has an accompanying rap song, especially if the rapper stars in the movie, even better.
And he's going through, like, he's, like, speaking as the shark.
Yeah, so I guess, but his hat is a shark's fin then. He's the shark. But it's not a hat because it's part of him. I never understood that. And I never saw too many hats that were shaped like shark fins.
I think
fins.
It's a metaphor. I listened to it earlier and I read the lyrics as he was rapping them. And I was like, oh, this is fun.
It's so good. I don't know if it's quite... at the heights of, say, like, you know, Men in Black and Wild Wild West.
Oh, no, not no.
But I think certainly fits in with, you know, the very healthy B plus A minus tier of, you know, Adam's Family Groove, Ninja Rap, TURTLE Power, and Deepest Bluest, Shark's Fin. It's just the 90s. Fuck, when you had, it's
so good. They should do that again.
They should. They shouldn't have ever stopped.
Never stop.
This movie's got to have some taglines, right? So let's talk some taglines.
I thought there would be more taglines for this movie because, like, when you've got sharks and water involved, like, you can, how many puns or, like, you know, double meanings, whatever it is, could you come up with? Well, they came up with six.
Okay.
You ready?
Ready.
Bigger, smarter, faster, meaner.
Why didn't they just go, like, bigger, faster, stronger and try to just play off that? Did that song exist yet? That Daft Punk song?
Oh, are you thinking
song?
Of Daft Punk?
Yeah.
In 99? I think so. That's late 90s, right?
I think so. So, okay. Maybe Daft Punk was like, hey, hold on. No, I don't know. If I was in Daft Punk, I'd be like, yeah, like, why am I not in the soundtrack? We can rewrite this to make it about sharks. 100%.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, that's fun. Okay. Welcome to the endangered species list. That feels like it'd be a good one for Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I think so too. Or prepare to be extinct, or maybe for Jurassic Park or something.
Oh yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Okay. That's a still, you know, both of these are like three quarters up.
Your worst fear is about to surface.
That's pretty good. I like
that
fun. One.
Yeah, I think it's good. You'll recognize this one. Beneath the glassy surface, there's a world of gliding monsters.
Bad.
Literally a
down.
line out of the movie.
Yeah.
You can't use that.
First of all, that's like, come on, Jan. And second of all, do you glide? I feel like gliding is something you do in air.
I agree.
So thumbs down.
Yeah. Oh, the sixth one is the same as the fourth one. So never mind. There's
Easy.
Only five. So I saved my favorite for last.
Okay.
How fast can you swim? I like that one.
Yeah.
Simple.
Thumbs up.
Scary. Like, how fast can you swim? Not as fast as a fucking shark.
Yeah, that's fucking, he says it. He's like, human can only swim this fucking fast. This one can be like 50 feet a fucking second or something. Or I don't know.
I'd be
Fuck
like, please
that.
Don't say those words out loud right now. Those are our taglines.
Love it. I'm going to let you give your boo score first.
Oh, I get to go first. Okay.
Hell yeah.
I think this is a perfect movie. This is my favorite shark movie. I've seen it countless times. I will watch it many, many times more. And if anyone is ever with me and they say they haven't seen Deep Blue Sea, I'm going to make you watch it. Like, I'm definitely going to make you watch it. So this is a five boo movie for me.
Hell fucking yeah. I love that.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. The movie works. Like, what I like about it is I'll recommend this to everybody too.
Absolutely.
Especially, and the thing is if someone hasn't seen it, I want to watch it with them.
Oh yeah. No, I'm going to make them watch it with me.
100%. Which I think is like an extra level of like how much I love this movie and how much I want to share it with people, you know? And because it is so bonkers and so fucking wild, and the nonsense, it's so good. The other thing too is that it works. It works on that, towing that line between horror and action movie, where I feel like if someone is like really not into horror, you could show them this movie and still be like, you know, like,
absolutely.
Yes. Is it bloody? Yes. Do people die one by one? Does it have the trappings of a slasher kind of in that regard? Yes, but it's not as, I don't know. It's not like,
it's like the best of both worlds because it's a creature feature, but it does feel slasher-like because you have like a decent amount of people in the cast and like a high body count and different creative deaths. Like it doesn't, and the shark's deaths too. So like, I think that that makes this movie like extra special. And like you said, like even if someone doesn't like horror, you could recommend it to them. Is this our first creature feature?
Probably.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's aquatic horror, which is a perfect subgenre as well. How about you? You didn't say your boo score yet.
No, I am really excited because we are in February and we're handing out our second Platinum Boo winner because five fucking boos for this fucking movie. It is fucking, I will watch this movie a million times. I'll watch it a million times more.
100%.
I will always recommend it to people. Now, granted, it makes me like think of like, okay, like where does this compare? At the end of the year, I'm going to be reevaluating some boo scores. We'll see as we go.
You will not take away a 5 boo rating from Deep Blue Sea on my watch.
No, not at all. But I was thinking, but one thing I am certain of is this movie's fucking perfect, and it is so much fucking fun. And
for the record, everyone, Kyle gave this a higher score than Scream 2.
Yeah. No, I'll commit to that.
I love it. Okay. I just had to make sure you knew.
Scream 2 is gonna, it'll, if anything, it'll be a 4.5.
Okay.
I think I'm not gonna give it the full 5. This movie, I don't know if I've seen this movie more times than Scream 2. Ooh, it's hard to say.
No,
hard
I think I think Scream 2 probably more, but gosh, this movie, I've seen it a
Damn.
Lot.
Imagine if you put Laurie Metcalf in this movie. Fuck.
In a white wetsuit.
Yeah, 5.5 boos, easy. You'd break the scale. It just wouldn't happen.
Yes.
You couldn't handle it. That's maybe Rennie knew. Yeah, fuck yeah. Let's give this 5 boos. I fucking love this
Platinum
fucking movie.
Boo.
Let's announce it. Let's fucking go to the press. yeah. I don't think I really have that much to add. I think you said a lot of it perfectly. Yeah. And I said my piece, and fuck yeah, this movie's fucking awesome. 5 boos.
You know what we didn't mention that I think is important, because this movie is so like wild. The acting is good too. Like these are ridiculous circumstances and everybody is like fully committed. I love that too, because I think you could very easily make this feel silly or, you know, your heart's not in it, but you can tell that like everybody is really committed and having a fun time. And I also wanted to mention that this movie made $165 million at the box office off of a $60 million budget. So that's pretty fucking impressive too.
Pretty good. You said it's worldwide, 165?
I think it's worldwide.
Yeah. I know one thing they don't include in budgets is like, so if it's like a $60 million movie, the marketing, which is like maybe like another 30 million or something, isn't included in that budget, like whenever you're looking at like Box Office Mojo, things like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, enough to get some straight to DVD, straight to video, straight to whatever sequels. I guess, yeah, DVDs were there at the time. I don't know if I'm gonna. I just love this movie so much that I think
You don't want
watching
to
the
fuck with
other
the other
two.
ones. I think that's why
No.
I've avoided them too. Like, I can't stress enough for everyone listening how many shark movies I have watched because my son went through a phase where he just wanted to watch every single shark movie that he could sink his teeth into. So we watched a lot of, God, just so many bad ones, so many bad movies. But there were some hidden gems in there. So, a couple surprises.
Oh yeah. Dang. Well, that wraps it up on Deep Blue Sea. You got anything else?
No, it's a great movie. Thomas Jane is fucking hot.
Hell yeah, he is. Yeah. Hell yeah. Nothing else to say. Perfect. Thanks, everybody. 3, 2, 1, ghost.
Thanks for listening to our episode on Deep Blue Sea. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more of our aquatic safety tips, hit subscribe on whichever platform you choose to listen on. And don't forget to leave us a killer review while you're at it. You can give us a follow on Instagram at 321GhostPod to keep up with what we have coming up in the future. We're very active on Instagram and would love to hear from you. Shoot us an email to 321GhostPod@gmail.com to ask any questions, share your thoughts, or suggest a movie you'd like to hear us chat about. Next week, we're going back to high school again and talking alien invasions with the faculty. Thanks again for listening, and remember, don't fuck with the ocean. Certainly don't double down and fuck with sharks. And lastly, don't fuck with the female population of any species. 3, 2, 1, ghost.